Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to The Balance. That's right, the flagship show of everything you need to know sports. My name's Tom, and $2 Bill Josh will be joining us very shortly. Who we got on the line with us here? Is this Mr. Hammer?
This would be. Glad to be part of the flagship.
What's up, my brother? From another mother.
Hold on. How are you doing?
I think we got Josh. I'm good. Hold on. I think we got Josh joining us. $2 Bill Josh, are you there with us?
I'm here. What's up, Tom? What's up, Jason?
You all right there, my friend? You sound like you may have had a few cocktails last night.
You'll survive. I think he's down there eating breakfast at the Paragon.
Hey, it's all fun and games until you pass out face down in a watery ditch trying to hitchhike to Anderson like I may or may not have done in college.
not saying I did and not saying I didn't, right?
I'm just saying, exactly.
I'm just saying the possibilities out there.
Well, there, guys, may be some proof, right?
That's right. There's a lot of possibilities this weekend, guys, and our listeners must be under a rock if they don't know that it's the Bears, the Packers, the Jets, and the Steelers. Hammer, give us your view on these two games, and what a rivalry between the maybe I had a few cocktails last night, between the Packers and the Bears. And what about these Jets? Is the Jets actually going to be able to pull off a win and get you the Super Bowl, Mr. Hammer?
You know what? We'll start with the Jets. And in theory, if you told me at the beginning of the playoffs that Mark Sanchez was going to go on the road and beat Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and then Ben Roethlisberger, I would have bet, you know, the mortgage on the house to it. But he's played well enough to win. The defense has been stout. The running game has come to life. And something the Jets have this year that they didn't have last year is a playmaking wide receiver in Santonio Holmes. Last year they had Braylon Edwards. They brought him in, you know, late in the year, made a few big plays, caught a big ball against the Colts in the AFC Championship game a year ago. But Santonio Holmes brings so much more to the Jets. He allows the field to get spread out a little bit. And then on the flip side, we know how stout the Jets' defense is. We know they can stop the run. We know that they blitz, you know, on third down 75% of the time. But whether you like him or not, the baby maker that is Antonio Cromartie has been huge for them. He's basically an extension of their coach. He runs his mouth, but so far he's backed it up. And with Revis Island shutting down the team's best wideout, we'll probably see Revis on Mike Wallace tomorrow. Look for Antonio Cromartie to take a few more chances. And you know what? I give the Jets a huge, huge chance to win this game. The Steelers are good. They're awful tough at home. But Rashard Mendenhall against that Jets running game, I'd consider that to be somewhat even. The Steelers defense against the Jets defense, you know, somewhat even. I'd give Big Ben the advantage at quarterback, but the intangibles and the chip on their shoulder clearly belongs to the New York Jets.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have been, and no one has surprised me more than the Jets. And as we talked about yesterday in the wrap up, I told Josh, I said, Josh, they got one more game to prove to me that they're the real deal. And Josh says that they've been proving themselves all year long. You know what you say, Josh? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm under the impression that the Jets haven't impressed you by now, they're never going to. They could win the Super Bowl, and you're still going to say, one more game, prove it to me one more time.
Exactly. And they put themselves in that position a lot. You're right. They put themselves in that position a lot because they're so flamboyant. The coach runs their mouth. You know, they do the whole hard knocks, guaranteeing they're going to go to the Super Bowl and all that. But, you know, in essence, it's, you know, I know a lot of IU basketball fans here in Indianapolis might not want to hear this, but in many ways, Bob Knight used to do the same tactics. You put all the pressure on yourself by making somewhat of an asset of yourself that nobody worries about your team. Your team flies under the radar. Everybody focuses on you, and then your team can just go out and play.
Right, man. I think that's a good job on the part of a coach. I'm a huge Bobby Knight fan, and maybe a lot of people didn't like his ways and the way that he did things, but that's exactly what he did. Maybe Coach Green needs to start doing that. What is going on with IU? That's a whole different show and a whole different topic. My goodness, IU just can't get stuff together, and so we could easily go down that trail. But we'll rein it in a little bit. And you're right. But the one thing I've noticed this week, Jason and Josh, you guys may have noticed the same thing. It's been kind of quiet in Jetland this week. Not a lot of YouTube viral stuff going on. Not a lot of Twitters going on. It's been very complacent and very surreal in the Jet camp. Do you get the same feeling?
Yeah, and I think when you look at the matchups, I think the Jets needed the confidence boost from their coach when they played the Colts and when they played the Patriots. The last couple of years, I mean, let's be honest, one of them was the team that knocked them out of the playoffs, and the other one has been, you know, in many ways, their nemesis for a number of years. You know, there's an old expression, I believe it was Ric Flair that made it possible in wrestling, that said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And for a long time, the Patriots were the Jets' man. And I think they needed that little vote of confidence from their coach to say, you know what, you ain't so bad. Let's get out here and let's get it on and let's see what you got. And now that they've gotten over that hump, I don't think they need any more motivation. I think if you can't get jacked up for a trip to the Super Bowl, then you're probably playing the wrong sport.
Probably in the wrong sport. Well, my question is, and here's a lot of things that maybe a lot of people haven't thought about, but if Sanchez manages to pull off a win and beat the Steelers, not only did he beat Peyton Manning, not only did he beat Tom Brady, but now Ben Roethlisberger he would have met, what kind of caliber quarterback does that boost Sanchez up into, or is that just a fluke? He had a good year. We'll see what he can do in the future.
You know, I think there's a fine line between being great and being a good story. It would be great, you know, for him to do that, but you better win the whole thing. Because in years past, there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have gotten hot that made it to the Super Bowl but didn't win. And nobody remembers that. You know, but on the flip side of that, the way that, you know, we are as a society, the way that we are as media, if you knock off Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger, and then, you know, whoever it may be coming out of the NFC, Aaron Rodgers or Jay Cutler, that's almost legendary to go on that kind of run and to do it all on the road. So, you know, that would be legend, but if you don't win the whole thing, it would be almost, you know, a good story that a lot of people will forget in a number of years. And sadly, that's just the way that it is.
And I totally 100% agree with you, and I think that Tom Brady can associate himself to a very similar story back when he got his first start with the Patriots. Was it or was it not and I'll have to go back and check the facts on this, but wasn't it in the Super Bowl where he got his first start, and it was a big controversy between him and Drew Bledsoe, I believe?
Well, he started midway through the year that season because Bledsoe got knocked out with an internal organ injury, and then Brady came in. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think his first actual start in a regular season game came against the Colts in Foxborough when the Patriots were struggling, and that's when, you know, dare I say it, the Patriot
right.
dynasty
right.
was kind of born.
Yeah, that's
there
correct.
You are. You have it.
His first start was in Foxborough. I remember the day he first started, the Colts had a 20-0 lead midway through the second quarter. This may or may not be the correct final score. I believe he came in to rally the Patriots to something like a 44-27 win, and he's been the starter in New England ever since.
Okay, yeah. And here's the thing, Jason, if you ever need a lifeline or a trivia guy, you're at the bar playing that trivia game and you need an answer to that question, Josh is your man. Give him a call. Say, hey, bro, you know, I need to know the answer to this. Mr. Statboy knows the answers. I'm going to trust his judgment on this. That's exactly right. But speaking of rivalries, obviously the Colts and the Patriots are a huge rivalry, and that would have been a good story in tomorrow's game, but that's not going to happen. But the rivalry that is going to happen is the Bears and the Packers. What a game that's going to shape up to be, no matter who wins. This is a battle between a rivalry that's been going on since, what, 1941?
Right.
And they're ready for some battle there in Soldier Field in Chicago, and the Packers, the Cheeseheads are ready to go back to the Super Bowl, and they're rallying behind their new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Brett who? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know we think here in Indianapolis that the Colts and Patriots is, you know, a hard rivalry. It's nasty. The fan bases don't like each other. You know, listen, I'm not a Bear fan and I'm not a Packer fan, but sometimes you just have to tip your hat to the better rivalry. And Bears and Packers is just nasty. It's everything that you would want in a football game. Neither team is going to be scared of playing in the cold. Neither team is going to be worried about, you know, the conditions outside. They're both used to playing in brutal temperatures.
Oh, yes, absolutely right.
It's great. It's everything you want. Tickets for this game, I saw online, are going for more than a lot of the Super Bowl tickets went for last year between the Colts and the Saints.
Wow.
And you think about how much America was captivated by the Saints last year and the ticket demand to go see the Saints in the Super Bowl. Tickets for this game in Chicago have been more than those tickets. So that tells you how much this game means. And, you know, maybe I'm alone here, but what I love about this game and what I love about sports in general is when you have big rivalries, I love it when somebody has to bow down to the other one's fan base. Keeping it radio clean here for you, gentlemen, I love it when somebody owns the other team. That's why it broke my heart when the Red Sox finally rallied and beat the Yankees. I'm a Cub fan. I don't like either one of those teams, but I love the idea of somebody suffering against another team. That's why we love sports so much. And whoever loses this game,
absolutely,
they're going to have to deal with that.
Oh, yeah, and the bragging rights are going to be out of this world if the Packers beat the Bears. And,
right.
And Josh, I know you think that's very, very possible that the Packers can beat the Bears. And you're of the opinion Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today. Is that right, Josh?
Not one of the best quarterback in the National Football League. Manning and Brady are good, but they can't do on the run what Aaron Rodgers did last week. I've never seen Manning do some of the things that Rodgers did with two or three guys draped over him. I don't know if Brady still has that in the tank. So based on that, I would say Rodgers is the best quarterback in the National Football League.
You know what, guys? I got to run to a Pee Wee basketball game, but I agree 100%. The Packers are a 3-point road favorite in this game, which to me is a little bit staggering. But we'll see what happens. Again, I hate to cut it short, but there's some hardcore Pee Wee basketball action I need to run through right now. The 6-year-old North Carolina Beech Grove team is ready for action. I appreciate the time, gentlemen. HammerandNigel.com, Facebook.com/HammerandNigel. My predictions tomorrow, Green Bay and Pittsburgh.
You demand. Thanks, Hammer. We
you got it, brother.
It. Have a
see
good
you
one, buddy. See ya. All right, Jason Hammer, the man who always brings the hammer and brings it down. Josh, are you with us still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All righty. So Josh, obviously Hammer's got his thoughts on tomorrow's game. It's championship weekend, Josh. It's here. Can you believe it? I'm all a tingle. I'm all a Twitter. And, yes, I am Twittered. And, guys, make sure that you give us a call. We want to hear your thoughts. Championship weekend, 917-889-8516. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to hear from you. And like we just had Jason Hammer on the line with us. He's the man. And you can catch his show, Hammer and Nigel. Just go to their thing, HammerandNigel.com, or look him up on Facebook. Jason, we appreciate you being on the air with us. And he will be on the air again in the very near future. Also, guys, go to our website, www.TheBalanceOnline.com. Find us on Twitter under TBalance. And you can also, on Facebook, boys and girls, go to our Facebook page and type in The Balance, and you'll find us and post your comments there as well. Well, Josh, somebody's going to go home crying. And so, Josh, real quickly, what I want to do is I want you to just walk us through real quickly, and we're going to go through game by game and break it down. But real quickly, what I want you to do is catch us up on the NBA, NCAA, and we'll go into right after that, Josh, we'll go into a commercial break, gather our thoughts, and we'll come back and we'll break down some serious football. So, Josh, walk us around the NBA. We don't have a Zap today, so you're our Zap man. Zap us up, Josh.
Well, last night there's a little bit of history made in the NBA. Two teams lost by 40 points. Yes, 40. New Jersey Nets, 89. Excuse me, a little under the weather today. Detroit Pistons, 74. The Magic, 112. The Toronto Raptors, 72. And an absolute blowout. Phoenix, 109. Washington, 91. The Hornets, 100. Atlanta, 59. At home, Atlanta loses 100-59 in Atlanta. Celtics 110, Jazz 86, Bucks 102, Cleveland Cavaliers 88. The Spurs improved at 37-6 with a 101-92 victory over the Knicks. Memphis 115, Houston 110. The Lakers beat Denver 107-97, Golden State 119, Sacramento 112. Last week's NBA MVP Blake Griffin. Last week's best rookie was Blake Griffin. The four hottest teams in the NBA currently are the Magic, Spurs, Lakers, and Golden State. The four coldest teams are the Pacers, Cleveland, Dallas, and Sacramento. On this late day in the league, Pacers, Blazers at 10, Mavs, Nets at 7, Celtics, Wizards at 7, Hawks, Bobcats at 7, Suns, Pistons at 7:30, Raptors, Heat at 7:30, Jazz, Sixers at 7:30 on NBA TV, Spurs, Hornets at 8 p.m., Cleveland and the Bulls at 8 p.m., Knicks and the Thunder at 8 p.m., Magic, Rockets at 8:30, Grizz and the Bucks at 8:30, Warriors, Clippers at 10:30. That is your NBA wrap-up for the day. Moving over to the NCAA, Butler 81, Green Bay 75. Last night, Matt Howard had 29 points and 16 boards for the Bulldogs. Baker had 20 points, including 4 three-pointers for Green Bay. Butler improved to 14-6, 6-2. Green Bay falls to 10-10, 4-4. Today, 22 of the top 25 teams play. At noon, it's number 3 Syracuse versus number 7 Villanova on ESPN. And at noon, it's number 1 Ohio State versus number 22 Illinois on CBS. At 2, it's number 8 UConn versus Tennessee on CBS. At 2, number 21 St. Mary's plays Vanderbilt. At 2 p.m., number 24 Kansas State plays Texas A&M on ESPN. At 4, it's number 5 Duke versus Wake Forest on ESPN. At 4, it's also number 20 Washington versus Arizona State on Fox Sports Net. At 4 p.m., the number 4 Pitt Panthers play DePaul. At 4 p.m., number 11 Texas plays number 2 Kansas on CBS. A game I know Tom's absolutely excited to watch. At 5 p.m., number 15 Louisville plays Providence on ESPNU. Number 12 UK versus South Carolina on ESPN. At 7, it's number 16 Notre Dame versus Marquette. At 7 p.m., 19 Minnesota versus Michigan on the Big Ten Network. At 9 p.m., it's number 9 BYU versus Colorado State. At 9 p.m., number 14 Missouri plays Iowa State on ESPNU. The game of the day at 9 p.m., number 13 Purdue takes on number 18 Michigan State on ESPN, the college game day game of the week. And at 10:30, number 25 Arizona plays Washington State. And that's your NBA wrap-up for the day, your NCAA wrap-up, rather.
All right, Josh, thank you so much for wrapping us up on the hoops and on the hardball. We'll be right back. We're going to gather our thoughts, gather our notes, and it's championship weekend here on The Balance.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
My old granny, she's 91.
My old granny, she's 91.
She does PT just fun.
Just for fun.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
You got the laser, you put it right on my chest, I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stake right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
All right. Who went to the playoffs this year? Everybody knows who went to the playoffs, but who will come out here on Championship Weekend? Josh, Championship Weekend. It's the Jets. It's the Steelers. It's the Bears and the Packers. And the Bears and the Packers play first, so we'll take them first. Like I said, Josh, it's a rivalry that's been going on for a very long time. This should be a game that beats all games. So what I'm going to do here, we've got a couple Bears and Packers sound bites here real quick. I'm gonna play this sound bite here. I believe this is the one from AP. And we'll come back and talk about the Bears and the Packers here in just a moment.
Bears, Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Along the Wisconsin-Illinois border at the famous Brat Stop, trash talk is heating up, and it's all about the NFC Championship game this Sunday in Chicago between the Bears and Green Bay Packers.
They weren't really even playing that hard, and they almost beat you up at Packerland.
No way. Never happened. We're coming to Soldier Field, and we're going to stomp on them.
The winner of this big game punches their ticket to Dallas and the Super Bowl.
Packers are going to win.
I'm a Bear fan.
34-20.
Brat Stop owner Jerry Rasmussen dislikes the Bears so much that he has hung a stuffed grizzly and tied a noose around its neck.
It'll be a good confrontation and all in good camaraderie.
A frozen tundra here on the Wisconsin-Illinois border. Snow everywhere. Not a whole lot going on this time of year. But this weekend, the Bears meet the Packers in Chicago, and some in these parts are calling it the Cheese Bowl.
Some people inside the Brat Stop are taking the Bears' side.
This is the biggest thing, bigger than the Super Bowl for us.
Others, not so much.
I think the Bears are going down.
The Bears are going to beat them, and they won't be able to get over the fact that the Bears went to the Super Bowl by beating them.
Grrr. Just up the interstate a bit sits the famed Merkt Cheese Castle. Some interesting game day novelty items are sold within, and of course, cheese. Lots of it, in fact.
What are you holding?
This is a cheese bra, and the company went out of business, and I probably have the last six made the company made.
And some fans may be taking the game a bit too seriously.
Well, I bought my daughter a Bears lighthouse because she's a big Bear fan for her house in a nice area, nice neighborhood. She got egged last Monday.
On the border of Wisconsin and Illinois, Robert Ray, the Associated Press.
Thanks, Robert, over at the Associated Press, breaking down a real rivalry. And like Jason Hammer brought to the forefront, this is a true football rivalry. And this is an old-school rivalry. It's much like in baseball, Yankees and the Red Sox. Here we are, championship weekend. It's the Bears. It's the Packers. Josh, let's break this game down.
Sounds good. Real quick before you get into it, I want to remind you that there's an NCAA football championship game today. It's their East-West Shrine game. We'll get into that a little bit later. But getting back to Bears-Packers, they're 1-1 this year. Both teams have won a game this year. The Packers beat the Bears in Week 17, 10-3, in Green Bay. 10 keys for this game are turnover. Can the Packers stop Devin Hester? Who commits the fewest penalties? The last time these teams played in Chicago, the Green Bay Packers had 18 penalties for 172 yards. Can they get pressure on Jay Cutler? Can James Starks have another big day for the Packers? Julius Peppers needs to have an absolute huge impact for the Bears. Can the Chicago Bears slow down Aaron Rodgers? Which coach does a better job? Who can come up with a new wrinkle? This is the 182nd meeting between these two teams. These two teams know each other probably better. The Packers know the Bears better than the Bears know the Bears. The Bears know the Packers better than the Packers know the Packers. So there's nothing they can... that unless they come up with something new, there's nothing the other team won't have seen before. And which team will have an unexpected player step up? My pick, I'll give you in a little bit after I give Tom a chance to break this game down a little bit farther.
Okay, Josh. I thought you were going to say something else there. But yeah, it's been like I said, a rivalry, and I was correcting on my date. I said 1941 earlier. It's actually 1921 that these guys have been doing battle, and truly understand. But to truly understand the Packers and Bears, you got to go back several years, you know, to the days of Wayne Dreher's and you know, those players, and just look at the way that this rivalry has shaped the game of football, not only for fans but for teams, and you know. Going back on the schedule, it was just another game, the 164th meeting between the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears, to be exact. But the night before, the Packers in a team hotel's safety, Matt Bowen, struggled to sleep. He had grown up in suburban Chicago on a steady diet of Dicka and defense, yet found himself hours from taking the field as one of his boyhood villains, a strong member of the Green Bay Packers. As a roommate, Aaron Kapten snored in the bed next to him. Bowen tossed and turned, and somewhere around 3 a.m., the unthinkable happened. It isn't something I've told a lot of people, Bowen said, but when the Bears and Packers meet this Sunday for NFC Championship, they will play the 182nd time. No NFL teams have ever traded helmet paint more than those two. Their rivalries are built on a winning tradition, 21 NFL championships, 47 Pro Football Hall of Famers. The names from the past are all capable of standing on their own. Halas, Lombardi, Buckus, Peyton, Favre. It all started in 1921 in a 20-0 Bears victory with a John Taylor punch that broke the nose of the Packers tackle, Howard Buck, and will continue Sunday with a ticket to the Super Bowl on the line. It doesn't get any better rivalry than that, boys and girls. We want to hear your comments on the Bears, the Packers, the Jets, the Steelers. 917-889-8516. Our friends over at CBS.com is going to break down the Bears and Packers for us. When we get back, Josh and I will break it down.
The oldest rivalry in the NFL meeting in the postseason for just the second time ever. This time, trip to the Super Bowl is on the line. Hey, how are you, folks? Jason Horwitz. Glad to be along with the NFL.com's Pat
Kerwin. Pretty exciting time.
Oh, this is great. Glad to be with you, breaking down the NFC Championship game, Pat. And, you know, yeah, at the beginning of the season, if you think about it, the Packers, nobody would be surprised that they'd be here. The Bears, yes.
Yes.
If you go to the beginning of the playoffs, maybe a little surprised that the Packers would be here. The Bears, no. So just how good of a championship game are you expecting?
Oh, it's a tremendous game. Let's go right back to how did Green Bay get to this final round here before the Super Bowl. And they went into Philadelphia and beat Michael Vick. Then they went to Atlanta. So they beat the 3 seed and the 1 seed. And Aaron Rodgers is getting better, and he is red hot. That's how they got here.
And he's been fantastic. We'll get to him in just a sec, Pat. But when you look at the fact that this is the third time these two teams are meeting, just like in the AFC divisional games, both of them last week, third time. What do you take out of the first two meetings this year?
A couple things that intrigue me about this. First off, if you look at the two games, add up all the points, 50 points total in two games. So this is a low-scoring affair, and I think it'll be close to that again. Number two, both teams have developed a running game really late in the season. Forte, obviously, for Chicago, more and more touches, 23 touches the last time he played Green Bay. And then, of course, Starks, who they don't really know. He's had 5 carries against the Bears in his career. He averaged 4 yards a carry. He's now in the backfield. Does he set up play action pass? I think it's a game we have to throw to set up the run.
Throw to set up the run, which, of course, sets up Aaron Rodgers. And in his postseason career, now 3 games, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he's been on fire in the first 2 games of this postseason.
Yes, he has been. And so this year, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Here's what's impressive about it. His best 2 receivers are who? Jennings and Driver. Neither one of those guys have any of those 6 touchdowns. It's ball distribution. Where's your coverage going? Where will I go? He likes his other targets. That's what makes him very intriguing to me.
Having said that, going against the Bears defense, who, you know, look, they're not going to throw anything that they don't know. The Bears know the Packers know the Bears, and they shut down Aaron Rodgers at times this year. So how do they do it again?
Well, the thing, they can, and they've had two interceptions, and they got to him twice. But at the end of the day, I don't think that the Bear pass rush measures up to the Green Bay Packer rush. Now, the Green Bay Packer rush is a little bit more risky because they're a blitz team. They've gotten to Cutler with the corners on sacks. Obviously, they're going to bring Matthews. They have a double inside twist where they like to bring A.J. Hawk and Bishop. But that, you know, they're going to take some chances doing that. The other guys, they're four-man rush. They're playing 4-3 over defense. They're playing cover two most of the time. So did Aaron Rodgers get enough looks at that defense in two games to understand where to go with
it? And that gets to the point of the fact that you mentioned Rodgers was sacked just twice in the two games. Jay Cutler was sacked 9 times in those two games, including 6 in Week 17 when the Packers won 10-3. So when you look at Cutler in this game, how do you get him going the way that he needs to for the Bears to win this game?
Well, Jay Cutler has done now. This is a four-game, a four-team series here with all mobile quarterbacks. To me, when you watch Jay Cutler late in the season, he's done a nice job of running with the ball to move the chains, get a first down. There are going to be times in this game against the blitz that he's going to have to take off and run. I talked about that double inside when they send the two inside linebackers opposite B.J. Raji. You get a double team on Raji and the linebackers are vacating the other way. I can see Cutler escaping a couple times. And so I think the quarterbacks are both going to have to run a little bit, maybe 6-7 times in the game, hopefully to convert 3 or 4 first downs. Cutler's definitely going to have to do it. But here's where I like Cutler. Forte in the backfield. We all know he's going to get around 25 touches. Here's the challenge for the inside linebackers. Why am I worrying about Forte? Because they're going to go to Greg Olsen. Remember when we said, oh, Martz, no tight ends in that offense. Are you kidding me? He caught 10 balls against the Packers the first two times, and he had a huge day the other day, 3 for well over 100 yards. So it's the Olsen, Forte, back and forth to stress those backers.
All right, Pat. And, of course, the X factor in this ballgame, as it is with any ballgame, field position, big plays. Who does that? Devin Hester, that could be a huge part to this ballgame.
Absolutely. And how many times have I said this year? Don't kick the Devin Hester. And everybody who does finds out there's a price to pay for
and
that.
And what did Devin Hester have in the first time they played the Packers? A touchdown.
Correct.
So that could be a big part. Let's take a look at Pat's keys to victory, which will show you who's going on to the Super Bowl in Dallas. Pat?
What do you think I like, Jay?
You know what? I think you're taking the Packers on the road.
I am taking the Green Bay Packers on the road. Aaron Rodgers, stay hot. This guy is on fire. He's completed 78% of his passes in the postseason. Get 75 to 100 yards from your run game. Now, that's asking a lot, but I think you have to stay committed to it. That's my point. Stay committed to it and get after Jay Cutler. You have the pressure scheme to do it. It's natural for Dom Capers to want to do it. You do those things, you're going to win a close game, 17-13. I could have easily taken the Bears, but I'm taking the Packers.
Wouldn't be surprised if either of these teams win. They know each other so well. We'll see how it all plays out. 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. For more, keep it right here on CBSSports.com. For Pat Kerwin, I'm Jason Horowitz.
Take care, folks.
All right. Thanks to our friends over there at CBS.com. for breaking down the Jets and the Packers. Now, Josh, I want you to break this game down for us. I said Jets and Packers. I'm sorry. I meant Bears and Packers. Josh, I want you to break this game down for us. Give us the keys from your stat brain, from your mind. What has to happen here? Obviously, I know that you think that Green Bay is going to win, and a very good shot of that. I think this is one of those games where it could go either way. I'm going in the other direction, so I want to hear your side of it, and I'll give you my side of it as to why I think the Bears will beat the Packers tomorrow. But go ahead and tell us why you think the Packers will beat the Bears.
It's simple. By the way, it's okay that you said Jets Packers. I'll be happy to break that game down for you on Super Bowl Sunday on our extended show.
I'm gonna go get a shot of caffeine. I'm gonna go get a shot of caffeine while you're doing that, Josh. So just go right ahead and break down this game, and I'll be right back.
You got Aaron Rodgers versus Jay Cutler. Aaron Rodgers is better quarterback 10 times out of 10. Jay Cutler's only won one playoff game in his career. Aaron Rodgers has been at 3 NFL playoff games. He has 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. Odds are he's not going to turn the ball over. You know, the Packers just need to get a little bit of, you know, kind of like CBS said, they need to get between 75 and 100 yards rushing. That's going to be really hard to do against the Wild Bears defense. They need to stay committed to it. They cannot get into a situation where Aaron Rodgers shots back and throws. Even if they're only picking up 2 yards, they need to run it at least one out of every three, four plays, just keep the Bears' defense from dropping completely back into pass coverage. If they can get 100 yards on the game, I think it'll be a blowout, but they need to stay committed to the run game to give Aaron Rodgers time to stand in the pocket, find the open receiver. Keep in mind as well that Aaron Rodgers can beat you with his feet. He can maybe not necessarily beat you running, although he can run. I wouldn't worry about Aaron Rodgers beating you running the ball necessarily, but he can move his feet well enough to move the defense to open up something that wasn't open before. Jay Cutler really can't do that. Cutler has a tendency to turn the ball over. I think the defenses are pretty much an even push. I want to give the coaching edge to Mike McCarthy. I just don't believe in the Chicago Bears. I can't stand that color. I'd really rather not see it on Super Bowl Sunday. That's the biggest reason I'm picking the Green Bay Packers. I cannot stand the Chicago Bears uniforms. They're hideous. But at the end of the day, Aaron...
What is that? I want to interrupt you real quickly there, Josh. What does the color of the uniform have anything to do... Or why do you have such a hatred for the Bears anyway?
I just don't like the
color.
Did you
lose some money on them or something?
I don't like that color of blue. And since this game is so close, I had to pick something as the reason I picked the Packers. And I couldn't come up with a better reason than Aaron Rodgers, and I can't stand the Bears uniform.
Well, there you have it, guys. If the Packers beat the Bears, it's because they had a better uniform. Actually, I think they're both kind of old school colors, which works good for them. Go ahead, Josh. Finish your breakdown there.
The Bears do have Julius Peppers, and he's capable of getting to Aaron Rodgers and disrupting that game. But I think the Green Bay Packers offensive line will do a good job. He might get one sack. He certainly won't get any more than one sack. As far as which coach I think will do a better job, Lovie Smith has a tendency. I don't really want to get into the whole Tony Dungy thing. He has a tendency to do the same thing that cost the Colts two Super Bowls during the Dungy era. I know Colts fans love Tony Dungy. I love Tony Dungy. He's too conservative. Peyton Manning should be a three-time Super Bowl champion. Lovie Smith has the same tendency. He plays it too close to the vest. The Super Bowl is on the line. It's not time to play conservative. It's time to lay it all on the line. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. It's not time to say, oh, it's fourth and one at the 50-yard line. Let's punt. No, that's part of the season's done and gone. Based on that, and Mike McCarthy tends to take more risk, I'm going to say that Mike McCarthy has the coaching edge. I just have a feeling that the Green Bay Packers have something the Chicago Bears haven't seen before. Based on the fact that Cutler turns the ball over, the Bears really don't have any top-flight wide receivers. The Bears really can't come up with any new wrinkles. They are what they are. I'm going to give that advantage to the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to pick that James Starks goes over 100 yards, and somebody on the Packers defense you've never heard of will come up with a sack and an interception. I just think this has all the makings. I can't think of a better thing to call it than a cheese ball. That sounds good to me. I'm going to pick the Packers 20-17, and we won't have to see those hideous Bears uniforms until next season.
Well, there again, like I said, this game can certainly go either direction. This is a good matchup from the aspect that both teams play each other very, very, very well. And I think that the Bears have positioned themselves to have the home field advantage, to be in a situation that they can beat the Packers. I think one of the big keys to the game for the Bears to win this game is absolutely, believe it or not, the fact that they're playing in Chicago. I would say that the momentum in this game could swing the other direction completely if they were playing in Green Bay. I know one thing, that just like many other teams, but especially here in Chicago, I mean, not here in Chicago, but there in Chicago. I'm in Indianapolis, but anyway, there's going to be more Bear fans there than Packer fans. And that's not always the case when because the Packers travel very, very well. Their fan base follows them very, very well. And let's face it, it's not more than a road trip away, maybe 3 or 4 hours away from Green Bay to Soldier Field. Very, very close. It's there. So, you know, but I just think there's going to be a lot of Bears ready to go and ready to see their team go to the Super Bowl again. There's some key things that I think, though, that Chicago has to do to make this happen, Josh. Obviously, this game is right around the corner tomorrow. And here are some things that I think we need to keep our eye open for this weekend. Every phase of this game for Chicago has to come together, okay? Same thing with Green Bay, but Chicago has to, first of all, they have to, Chicago's kickoff return production. Kickoff return will be a key. While it is easier to try to pin the opponent back on punts, which is exactly what the Packers did in Week 17, holding Hester to 34 yards returning, it's hard to do a kickoff, to do so on a kickoff. So if you kick it out of bounds, you give them great field position. Kick it directly to Devin Hester, and he will do his damnedest to make you pay. Kick the high short kick and try to run under coverage. He may blow past you. In a perfect world, the Bears would only see the Packers kick off once, since that is entirely not likely. The field position that they can get off of kickoffs will be crucial to their success. The Bears have shown throughout the season that long, sustained drives don't come as easily for them as a few boom, boom, boom plays will. So kickoff production is key number one to the Bears winning this game. If they can control that, they can control a lot of the momentum of the game, and they will win this game and go to the Super Bowl. Second of all, key number two, the discipline of Green Bay's secondary. They are very good. There's no dancing around that fact. That's for true. That said, they do have some weak spots, particularly when the linebackers cheat up on the line. Tramon Williams has been their defense hero in the past few weeks with good reason. He has 3 playoff interceptions. He's got good eyes, good hands, quickness to jump routes. But that's the key. He will jump a route, counting on his safety's help. With well-designed plays that will give safety something to think about other than coming over to help the corners, you can catch them off guard enough to perhaps get the big play. His interception against the Falcons came in a situation where the Falcons, with the ball in the first half, were at the 52-yard goal range, and they wanted to run one more play to get out of bounds and set Brian up about 10 yards closer. Since the Falcons have number 84, and everyone knows the ball is going to 84, Williams jumps out the out route, and White runs and heads virtually uncontested into the end zone. This is the kind of play that Jay Cutler absolutely cannot make this weekend if the Bears want to be successful. Number three, the Bears need to get a running game going early. In their Week 17 matchup, Forte, Taylor, and Cutler combined for 110 yards on 20 attempts rushing. For those doing the math at home, that's a 5.5 yards attempt. Since then, the Packers allowed 78 yards to the Eagles and 43 yards to the Falcons, approximately 4 yards per carry. Look for the Packers to try and seal that up and to get Jay Cutler throwing early and often. This is where the Bears need to stay disciplined. As long as they don't get down early, they should be able to get a 25-30 rushing attempts into the game. If they can get there, there's a good chance that Forte can make something happen against the Packers' defense. Number four, get to Rodgers. Obviously, you've got to stop Aaron Rodgers and keep him on the sideline. And Rodgers got legs. He can scramble. He can run. And if the Bears drop too far back in the coverage, he'll make the first downs running. The defense line needs to step up and pressure early and get upfield to get to Rodgers. And the last thing that I think that is a key here that the Bears need to do to make this happen is they need to pick their blitz assignments. Dom Capers is notoriously good at distracting opposing offenses, and you can expect a lot of different blitz looks coming on Sunday. Jay Cutler's known to get a little squirrely once he sees some pressure, and you can expect to see Matthews and Woodson coming around the edge, possibly trying to exploit Webb's rookie status. It'll be a big day for the big kid at right tackle. You know, those are my keys to the game. I think that it's going to be a very, very, very close game. I think that the Bears win 28-21. That is my pick for tomorrow's game, the Bears, the Packers, Soldier Field, Sunday. We want to hear your comments. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Josh. Real quickly here, let's spend a few minutes here talking about why it is that Aaron Rodgers is, and we've talked about this on the wrap-up, and I certainly don't want to downsize how good of a quarterback Aaron Rodgers is. Very, very good quarterback. Certainly is one of the greats in the game. Like you said earlier, not one of the great. What I want to know from you, Josh, is where do you see Aaron Rodgers being? Do you see him staying there and writing another quarterback legacy at Green Bay, much like Brett Favre did? And what do you see for the future of this young quarterback?
Well, he's 27 years old. He will definitely stay in Green Bay. There's no reason why he would leave, although if he does want to leave, he'd be the perfect guy to replace Peyton Manning. As a Colts fan, I would love to see that. We're not going to get into this today. I know Tom has a different opinion than me. Indianapolis, we're on Peyton watch. He said twice in the postseason he has to determine if he has the desire to come back. But back to Aaron Rodgers. There's no reason for him to leave Green Bay. It's the perfect location for him. If he can win the Super Bowl, he'll already be as big a name in Green Bay as Brett Favre. Brett Favre made it to two Super Bowls. He only won one of them. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Brett Favre. Yes, I know there's some Packers fans and Viking fans, maybe even Tom, that thinks that's an absurd statement. He doesn't turn the ball over nearly as often as Brett Favre does. Brett Favre may have the most career touchdowns, but he also has the most career interceptions by far. That's not a problem Aaron Rodgers has. He can run the football. I don't see why he would leave Green Bay unless there's a team in L.A. He is a California kid. Maybe if, say, the Vikings or somebody moved to L.A., he might want to go be the quarterback in Los Angeles. But short of that, I don't see why he would leave Green Bay.
Okay, and I agree. I think he'll stay right there in Green Bay. And you're right as far as the Peyton Manning thing. I think Peyton Manning stays right where he's at. I think they end up giving him a very good contract, even if it's for 1 year. I think obviously it's going to be a contract that Peyton probably will never fulfill to its fullest. But I just think that they will find a way to keep Peyton Manning at least for the near seeable future. And obviously, the Colts have a lot of navigating to do in the 2011 season. And we'll certainly get into that in other shows. This isn't the show about the Colts. It's the show about championship weekend. You know, there's a lot of new contracts and free agencies, some draft planning that they have to do in the off season. And just like with any off season, the chance that there's some difficult decisions to make, and they're complicated decisions to make. And to combine all of that on top of that is the possibility of a lockout and the possibility of something going wrong in this collective bargaining. Yeah, it is barking, if you ask my opinion, but collective bargaining agreement, and that's going to play a big play on who stays where and who moves around. Obviously, no free agent's going to go anywhere until they know what's in place with this collective bargaining agreement. Peyton Manning will stay right where he's at for now. That said, that's one reason why I think that Peyton Manning will stay with the Colts. Obviously, the Colts have a lot of work to do in the off season, and I'm quite sure that between Bill Polian Jr. and Bill Polian Sr., Jim Irsay, Caldwell, and all of the great minds over there at the Indianapolis Colts complex here in Indianapolis, they'll find a way to keep Peyton Manning going until at least until 2013. That's my thoughts on that. But there again, this is Championship Weekend, boys and girls. We will be right back. And when we get back, Josh and I are going to spend the next hour doing nothing but breaking down the Jets and the Steelers. We know that Josh thinks that the Steelers will win. Actually, no, Josh thinks that the Jets will win, and obviously I think that the Steelers are going to make another repeat to the Super Bowl. And so when we get back, we are going to break down the Jets, the Steelers.
To say that you behave childishly is an insult to children everywhere.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
I got my game on.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. You make no sense. You know how cretinous you sound when you think that a broadcaster can affect what happens on a game? How stupid you sound? How infantile?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Hopefully, Josh and I together can affect the outcome of this Jets and Steelers game. It is a game that the Jets are going to be ready to go for and ready to make a trip to the Super Bowl. And if they can do it, I'm all for it. Now, Josh, real quickly, and we're going to get into the keys of the game and really breaking the game down in great detail. And I know you promised us yesterday on the wrap-up that you can absolutely guarantee the Jets will beat the Steelers today. But real quickly, give us a look at a glance, and then we're going to run a couple sound bites here, and then we're going to break down the game. So go right ahead.
Well, what I'm about to say might sound like blasphemy. Tom might have a problem with this. I'm a lifelong Colts fan. I'm a huge Colts fan. I love the Colts. I've had season tickets for many, many years. That being said, over the course of the playoffs, I think I'm getting a new favorite NFL team. The Colts are always going to be my team, but I think I'm getting a new favorite NFL team. I think the Jets are my new favorite NFL team. I still love the Colts. They're a little boring. I like Rex Ryan's always on the microphone, lying in his mouth, but he backs it up. Mark Sanchez is like Tom Brady, but he backs it up. They got Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards, LT, Jason Taylor. They're just a fun team to watch. I don't know how you can turn on the New York Jets unless they're playing the Colts. And when they're playing the Colts, I pick the Colts. But I don't know how you can turn them on and not think they're fascinating to watch. They have Hall of Famers literally at almost every position on the field. They got Cromartie and Revis and Bart Scott. Jason Taylor, they're all going to the Hall of Fame. Sanchez is going to end up there one day. You heard it here first. LT's going to the Hall of Fame. Santonio Holmes and Braylon Edwards will end up there someday. Rex Ryan certainly has the potential to be a Hall of Fame head coach. So they got Hall of Famers all across the board. Some that have already proven their Hall of Fame good. Some who are just now starting to prove it. They're an exciting team, and then you got the Steelers. They're boring. All they want to do is run the football and punch you in the mouth. Same thing they did in the 70s. Same thing they did in the 60s. They have no pizzazz to them. They have no big names. They have nobody you're going to hear about on Entertainment Tonight, read about in Us Weekly. None of that cool hit stuff. HBO doesn't want them on TV because it would be the worst TV show of all time. Nobody would watch Hard Knocks with the Steelers. I think tomorrow's a clash of style versus substance. I can guarantee that the Jets are the more stylish team, but they have enough substance to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Seamus himself is my new favorite NFL team.
Well, we're so glad that you have a new favorite NFL team and a way to jump on that bandwagon there, Josh. We do want to hear your thoughts, though, 917-889-8516. And we're going to break down the Jets and the Titans the Jets and the Steelers. Right after this, what we're going to do is we're just going to jump over to a soundbite. When we come back, we're going to break down the keys to the game, the Jets and the Steelers, and Josh will keep his promise as to why he guarantees a Jets win against the Steelers.
Steelers going for their third Super Bowl in 6 years. The Jets for their first since Super Bowl III. Jason Horowitz, glad to be alongside NFL.com's Pat Kerwin. Glad to be with you here on CBSSports.com. It's the AFC Championship game, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sunday night. And, Pat, you know, the Jets have talked so much in those postseason. Rex Ryan called the game against the Patriots the second biggest in Jets history. So what does that leave this?
The second biggest in Jets history.
I mean, so all the emotion, and I know it's hard to say this, but when you think about what this game is, is it possible that the emotion just can't be the same as it was for the Jets last week?
You know, people, you know, they think that could be possibly true. They're laying low this week. It's not, because they can't create any stories, and so Rex is not going to fabricate it that much and make up something with the Steelers, so that's not his play. But think about what Rex has done all year since they lost in the championship game. He has pointed to this the whole time. It's been on their minds. They are not going to be down, they're not going to be flat, they're going to be ready to play in this game. These guys have never played a home playoff game, so getting on a plane doesn't bother them. Coming here with the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, they'll be ready to go.
And going to Pittsburgh shouldn't bother them, because they did it towards the end of the season and won at Pittsburgh 22-17. Now, Troy Polamalu didn't play in that game, but what do you take out of that ball game?
I take a couple things out of the game. I think both teams will look at themselves on tape and say, we all both should have run the ball more. There were run opportunities. They didn't pound the run as much as they could. I expect both teams to try to run the ball a little bit more than they did before. Move that feature back into the 20-22 category. We know the Jets are going to split them between the two guys. So running the ball is one thing. Now, you mentioned Polamalu. No Polamalu. He didn't play a great game last week. And, in fact, he was in the deep middle, a little bit too much for my liking. But the truth of the matter is, when he's on the field, he screws up your protections. He makes you change things. We've seen them win games because the tackle didn't get the call. I could see him sugaring the blitz and then dropping out. Sanchez has never played against Troy Polamalu. Sanchez will be challenged with this guy on the field.
He played so well last week when asked to play well against the Patriots. And, you know, Mark Sanchez in this ballgame, what will be the most difficult task for him and the Jets offense against a defense that gave up 126 yards total last week?
The playoff version of the Pittsburgh Steelers is a tough team to beat at home. Ben Roethlisberger's 4-2 at home in playoff games, and he averages 28 points a game. You know you got a great defense in Pittsburgh. I think the challenge in this one is going to be for Sanchez to stay up with the scoring. Now, he's got the weapons. I love those wide receivers against the Pittsburgh Steelers corners, but that's where the challenge is. I'm figuring Ben for, you know, getting close to that high 20 range, and Sanchez might have to go punch for punch. He's been great in the fourth quarter. Yeah. He's going to have to do it again.
And that's been the case all season long. For all the criticism about where Sanchez has been in crunch time, even, you know, lesser teams, whatever.
Yes.
He's been there, the Browns, the Lions, the Texans, and now in the playoffs as well against the Colts and the New England Patriots. Pittsburgh's offense, when you're preparing to take on the Jets, you know, it used to be, you know they're going to blitz.
Now I'm not so sure you know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a lot of things they can do. And number one, the instincts of Dick LeBeau will be to bring pressure. They are not going to let Mark Sanchez sit back there. And I talked to Lamar Woodley this week. Lamar Woodley, I said it last week, I'll say it again. He's the key blitzer here. This guy has 9 sacks in 5 playoff games. The way everyone sets a protection, they set it to who? James Harrison. Did you see his sacks last week? You're not going to leave DeBrickashaw Ferguson. As good as he is, you're not going to leave him alone all the time. And when they do that, Wayne Hunter has got to block Lamar Woodley. And if you try to help those guys, and let's say DeBrickashaw Ferguson can handle it, you're going to see the inside blitz pressure.
All right, you said you like the Jets receivers on the outside against the Steelers' corners. What about the Steelers, now young receivers who are stepping out, like Brown and Sanders,
right.
Of course, with Ward and Wallace against the Jets secondary.
You know, I'm going to leave Hines Ward out of this equation for a second. Let me tell you about what happens. Usually, most of the time, Revis and Cromartie are going to line up on the outside players. Now, I think that the Steelers are going to set it up so they always line up in the outside players. How do you do that? You put Wallace on one side. There goes Darrell Revis right now. And on the other side, you put Samuels with all his vertical speed, and that takes care of Cromartie. Now, work the inside. Hines Ward is going to get Coleman. Hines Ward is going to, as shifty as could be inside. They haven't gone to him as much. The new guys are great receivers. They did not have Heath Miller last time. So look for the inside passing game to be a big factor when we get to this game. And, of course, we left out Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown can get in the slot. Coleman gets on him. Coleman's a blitzer as well. Coleman got to Ben Roethlisberger last time. I think the inside game is what Ben's really going to be working.
Also had a sack against Brady, and of course the running game's going to be tough sledding for both these teams. We'll see if either can stay with it and actually be productive running the football in this game Sunday on CBS. All right, Pat, it's time for your keys to victory and your winner. Who you got?
Well, you know what? I could have taken either team in this game as well, but I'll take Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the home field. I like they played them before. I've spent 17 weeks talking about rematch situations, favoring the team that lost. I think it does favor them this time. Troy Polamalu helps the Jets stop the Jet running game. We know the Jets want to run and protect Sanchez as long as they can. Polamalu will help there. Get after Mark Sanchez, and they will. Lamar Woodley was all excited yesterday about how they play. So look for all that to happen as well. And then Ben, and I just talked about this, find your secondary receivers. Find the guys inside working against the backers and working against the safeties and move the ball that way. And by the way, Ben, run for a couple of first downs.
Yeah.
Ben is not a guy that really likes to run, but he will run in a game like this. I say he crossed the line of scrimmage 6 times for about 30 yards and 3 first downs.
And enough to get the victory and enough for Pat to say Steelers-Packers in the Super Bowl. We'll see how it all plays out. Watch it Sunday on CBS. For Pat Kerwin, I'm Jason Horowitz. Take care,
folks.
All right. Thanks to our friends over there at CBS.com for breaking down the Jets and the Steelers. Well, without further ado, we have teased it enough. Joshua, time for you to man up, step up to the plate. Tell us why you guarantee that there's a Jets win tomorrow.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Pat, whatever that guy's last name is, for once again disrespecting, spitting in the New York Jets' face. Are people ever going to stop this? Rex Ryan just needs to go on ESPN.com, CBSSportsLine.com, turn on NFL Network, turn on ESPN, turn on The Balance, turn on basically any sports talk show in the country. Somebody say the Jets can't beat the Steelers. Put that on the bulletin board. You tell the Jets they can't, and I'm going to tell you why they will. Can Sanchez outplay Ben Roethlisberger any day of the week? They want to play the game tomorrow, he'll outplay him tomorrow. They want to play it Monday, he's a better quarterback on Monday. The Steelers need to put a guard, Ben Roethlisberger, make sure he's in bed. Not in the bar, not going out motorcycle riding, not going out getting accused of doing wrong activities again. One time I can believe he didn't do it. When he gets accused over 2, 3, 4 times, they need to make sure he has a bodyguard and he's in bed. Santonio Holmes, he won the Super Bowl for the Steelers against the Arizona Cardinals. Sure, he made some dumb decisions. Sure, he has 4 or 5 kids outside of wedlock. But last time I checked, you don't get points on the scoreboard for off-the-field behavior. He's the best wide receiver on that field tomorrow, and he wears green and white for the New York Jets. He will be Mark Sanchez's go-to guy. I expect Santonio Holmes to have 6 catches, about 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Which offensive line will do the better job blocking? That'll again be the New York Jets. They're big and nasty up front. They kept the Colts from getting to Sanchez. The Patriots really never got to Mark Sanchez, and the Steelers won't do it either. And but the Steelers want to blitz Sanchez. That's fine. He'll just turn around and hand it to Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson, who absolutely kill him on the ground. The New York Jets are healthier than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Torey Polamalu is making his return. I doubt he's 100%. The Jets need to go after him early and often until he proves that he's 100%. I think Deshaun Green and LaDainian Tomlinson will both go over 70 yards. It's hard to run on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but if any team can do it, it'll be the New York Jets. Which coach does a better job? I think Rex Ryan's one of the best coaches in the National Football League. He certainly proved it over the last 2 years. They're 4-1 in road playoff games. You don't win 4 road playoff games in 2 years if you're not a great coach. He's going to win the coaching matchup again tomorrow. New York Jets aren't going to turn the ball over. The Pittsburgh Steelers turned the ball over several times against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens just stopped playing, and they've squeaked out a miracle win against the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Jets will be up 14-3, 14-7 at the half. The New York Jets have Cromartie, Brad Smith. They could drop Sean Green back to return kicks and punts. They're going to put Revis on Hines Ward. They're going to put Cromartie on Mike Wallace. The Steelers aren't going to be able to get anybody open. They're going to jam the Steelers' wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. Jason Taylor's going to go sack Ben Roethlisberger a few times if Roethlisberger wants to run the football. That's fine. We'll drop back and let Roethlisberger run the football. Because we could score faster than they will. At the end of the day, I just think the Jets have too much on defense. They're the better team. They have the better coach. They have the chip on their shoulder. They're tired of being disrespected. They're tired of being told, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. For all you people on ESPN that keep saying if they win tomorrow, you'll believe in them. No, you won't. We don't want you. The bandwagon's closed. Either Chris Mortensen and people like that, you're either on the bandwagon or you're not invited. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Jets 30, Steelers 17.
All right. Well, Josh, I can tell you one thing. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a battle. I know you want everybody to jump on the Jets bandwagon, but like Jason said earlier at the beginning of the show, there's a difference between a great story and a great team. And I think right now what we're seeing is a great story from the Jets. And I don't know that that has a happy ending. What I do want to do is break down for you the Jets and the Steelers. But real quickly, I want to thank my friends, all my radio friends out there. I tell you what, I have them all over the nation, and they provide me with some good material for the balance. And, guys, I do want to remind you that the balance is growing each and every week. We want to thank our listeners, and you can certainly download the show off of iTunes. Of course, here's on Blog Talk Radio on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. But I just do want to continue to tease you a little bit and let you know that there's some really big, big, big things on the horizon for the balance, and we are taking this to a whole new level where thousands and thousands of more people will be listening to our show. But real quickly, I want to play this little song, very popular there in Pittsburgh. Thanks to my friends over there at 94.5 there in Pittsburgh for supplying this song for us.
Let's find out all the Steelers and they're gonna change the weather. We're gonna be the champs again this year, so stick around.
Throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! He's there!
You're gonna hear the fans ignite. It's all in one sound.
Fires for the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Running for
it! Hey, you know it's home, and have you heard us yet? Us, but we're so excited.
You took a beating today.
You know what? Right now, I don't feel anything.
I don't want the charms and the physical. The Steelers got a winning team.
I'm just so proud of those guys.
We got Palamalu and Flacco too. You know the reading in a magazine.
Ben with a big 3rd and 20 from his 38.
Benny beat the Jets.
Steelers 5 for 12 on 3rd downs.
Benny.
Sidecar to his right.
Benny.
Ben has time. He lofts it long pass down the field, trying to get under it. And it's a
Antonio Brown had a step on the defender and pulled that perfectly thrown pass in. They made it 20 and got a whole bunch more.
Yeah, I told young fella, just take off. I'm going to throw it up there for you. First, I think he's going to look up for the ball, but he made a heck of a play.
All right. Thanks to our friends over there in Pittsburgh at 94.5 WS there in Pittsburgh for putting together that song for us. Josh, I tell you what, that song, just I love it. It's a great song. I had to play it here on The Balance. It's a super super song, the balance for The Balance, especially when we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers winning against the New York Jets. WWSW 94.5 FM, Oldies in Pittsburgh. Thank you guys for supplying that to The Balance today. What a great song that was, right, Josh? Don't you agree?
No, I hate that song. It has a catchy tune, but I hate that song.
Benny and the Jets. All right. Well, guys, it's time to get serious here. And I tell you, like I said, it's no secret. We've talked about it here on the wrap-up, and we've talked about it yet here on The Balance today. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that they're going to win. Unlike Josh, I'm not picking a new and second favorite team. I just think the Steelers are the team that's going to get to the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears. I love the Steelers in this one. I'm not going to pick your typical players to make the difference in this game either. I believe this game rests on the shoulders of two Pittsburgh rookie receivers. I'm thinking the Jets will try to counter Mike Wallace with Antonio Calamari and Revis getting the task of shutting down Hines Ward, with that leaving the key matchup on Heath Miller. Now, who did not play in the first matchup earlier this season? And which, by the way, Mr. Ryan is suffering a knee injury, Josh, going into tomorrow night's game. So that might be something that you might want to think about as well. But this leaves a very interesting and promising matchup on Pittsburgh's speedy rookie receivers, Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. Sanders has been emerging all season after taking over Antoine Randle-L as the number three receiver, who's been getting more targets and came up big on his first game in the playoffs with four catches, 54 yards, and seven targets. Antonio Brown also made his impact with the Steelers, the Ravens playoff matchup with three catches for 75 yards on his three targets, including a clutch third and 19 conversion where Big Ben connected on a 50-yard completion where Brown managed to get behind to prevent a defense. Add in Randle-L in a five-wide set, and it's hard to match Pittsburgh's receiver speed. The defense will play well and most likely make Mark Sanchez air it out to try to win this game, which Sanchez does not do well if he cannot get his running game going. The Jets did not fare well in the first visit to Pittsburgh earlier this year, even though they managed to escape with a win with Big Ben's pass incomplete into the end zone with a third down and goal from 10-yard line as time expired. The Jets managed to kick off a return for a touchdown and now entered Brad Smith as the Jets quarterback did not throw a touchdown, and both Green and Tomlinson were held under 50 yards. Another factor in both of these games will be the Steelers' safety, Troy Polamalu. That guy is awesome. He is the guy you want on your team. Yes, let's bring him to the Colts. By the way, he didn't play in the first matchup either. So those are some key things. And Josh, we've still got plenty of time here to talk about this, and we want to hear our listeners' calls. So callers, give us a call. We got plenty of time to take your calls, 917-889-8516. But I just think the Steelers win this one, 28-16, Steelers-Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. Josh, what are your thoughts on my breakdown of the Steelers beating the Jets? Based on what I just shared with you, do you see any other reason why the Jets can beat the Steelers. Now's the time to change your story.
I'm not changing my story. Not unless Ben Roethlisberger calls the balance himself and offers me tickets to Heinz Field tomorrow morning.
Hey.
Every time you start talking about a Jets win tomorrow, this is why I'm going to play, Josh. Go
I'll
ahead,
make
Josh.
You a proposition, Tom. I'm actually wearing my TCU jersey. It's a shame we don't have you stream going so nobody can see it. But if the Jets win tomorrow, I will buy you a double XL Jets jersey and hat. And you'll wear it on Ustream because a lot of our Super Bowl Sunday is going to be on Ustream because we can't do blog talk for all 6 hours. And if the Steelers win, I'll wear the Steelers.
Fair enough. Deal. And you heard it right here on The Balance, guys. Blog Talk Radio is now the holder of the bet. So we'll see what jerseys will be worn on Super Bowl Sunday. Live, by the way, guys, we will be doing a show live on Ustream, a very special show on that. And we're not doing Ustream right now. We're trying to work out some of the kinks so that we have a very, very smooth and seamless show on Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday will also be a new and improved balance. We keep teasing you about that, and we'll have that open and going on Super Bowl Sunday as well. They're just biting up the bit, aren't they, Josh? They went, no, what is it? How can I hear the balance any more than I already do? I mean, I can get you on iTunes. I can listen to you on our on your website, www.thebalanceonline.com. I can also find you on Facebook, post my comments. I can post myself on Twitter. I can follow you on Twitter. How can it get any better? Well, it does, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you, it does get better. The ability for you to listen to The Balance anywhere you go, it's just improving. I will tell you this much. I will let this much out of the bag. You can actually sit on the John and take a crap while Josh is talking crap. How's that sound? Not a good teaser for it? All right, I'm kidding. All right, try to keep everything radio and family friendly here. Shouldn't be talking about poop at the balance table because it is certainly not something that you should be talking about. So we'll stop talking about poop and crap here on the balance and taking a crap. Do not go in there.
Just about our listeners.
Josh.
I was just going to say, just while our listeners know, you have several things to look forward to. As Tom just mentioned, I think it's a good idea. We're not going to tell you about the New Balance until Super Bowl Sunday. And
that's right.
I'm going to go ahead and speak on Tom's behalf, and I hope you don't mind. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about the Super Bowl pretty much every day. There will be no making Super Bowl picks until 5:55 p.m. on Super Bowl Sunday.
Fair enough. Fair enough. 5:55 Super Bowl Sunday, you're going to hear the Super Bowl picks right here on The Balance. Hey, guys, give us a call, 917-889-8516. My name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is $2 Bill Josh. Mr. Statman, let's revisit what we've talked about today. We've talked about the Bears and the Packers. We've talked about the Jets and the Steelers. What I want to know from you is, Let's run the combinations of things that could happen. Let's look at your side of the coin here. What happens if you get a Jets and a Packer Super Bowl? How does that change the parameters of the game? And what do you think then happens with the way that the Super Bowl will turn out?
I think that will be the most highly anticipated, highly watched Super Bowl of all time, topping last year's Colts-Saints Super Bowl.
you'll have two young quarterbacks. Finally, we'll have the torch. They'll bring two. I'm a big WWE fan, so I'll use. They'll bring the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship. They'll bring the NFC Young Gun Quarterback Torch, and they'll bring the AFC Young Quarterback Torch. And kind of like Jason Hammer said earlier today, at the end of Super Bowl Sunday, either Mark Sanchez or Aaron Rodgers is going to be the new man in the NFL.
Okay. I tell you what, a lot of people probably would love to see a Jets-Packers Super Bowl. I mean, it'll be a good Cinderella story. I mean, obviously, two teams that have came from behind to win the playoffs, to win their prospective divisions, and to earn a ride into the Super Bowl. And whoever makes it to the Super Bowl has absolutely earned it this year. But I tell you what, it's going to be good. Chris Jenkins spent all but one game this season on injured reserve. He will not play in the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh, nor will he play in the Super Bowl should the Jets advance to the advance that far for just the second time in franchise history, by the way. That would be a good scenario. For the Super Bowl coming up here in February, that the Jets play the Packers. But one thing about it is Jenkins going to be on the sideline and is going to be the Jets' biggest cheerleader. It'll be a good turnout, and we'll see how that goes. One of the things that I would like to see is if the Jets and the Packers go to the Super Bowl, I want Rex Ryan to talk as much crap about about the Packers as he has about the Patriots and the Colts. What do you think about that?
Oh, that would be one of the biggest selling points of the Super Bowl, listening to Rex Ryan talk smack for 2 weeks and listening to me basically back him up on the balance for two straight weeks. But a question for you about tomorrow's game. You said Rex Ryan has a bum knee. The Jets fans should be concerned. I wasn't aware he was on the roster. I wasn't aware he was playing tomorrow.
Do what?
I wasn't aware Rex Ryan was going to play for the Jets tomorrow.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said he has a bum knee and we should be worried about it.
What should I have said? Who has the band? I lost my notes. I don't have them.
I'm just messing with you. But hopefully he won't do any more running down and dancing in the end zone like he did against the Patriots. I could deal without seeing all that running down the field.
Are you there, Josh? You broke up really
bad.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that if Rex Ryan does have a sore knee, maybe he won't run and jump up and down on the sideline and run into the end zone and dance like he did against the Patriots. I could live without seeing that again.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. I got nothing, Josh. I got nothing on that. Rex Ryan, Jets, ready to play. Maybe they exchange Valentine's Day cards with the Steelers, considering how much praise they've expressed for one another. I think Ryan wanted to warn everyone Friday, however, not to think that the Jets are any less motivated because they are preparing for the AFC Championship game and not having their little viral stuff going on the internet. Here's the thing, like Jason said earlier, that if you can't get pumped up for an AFC Championship game with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, then you're playing the wrong sport. That should be enough motivation for you right there as they get ready for the Steelers. Now let's look at another scenario, Josh. Here, what about a Jets Bears Super Bowl? What about that?
That would still be a pretty good matchup. I'm pulling for the Bears. I don't think they'll win, but they do have an Indiana kid at quarterback by the name of Jay Cutler. He's in Santa Claus, Indiana. Not too far away from where Tom grew up, at least I don't believe it is. So I'm sure that might have a little bit to do with Tom picking the Bears. But that would be a great Super Bowl. But Jets Bears would be a great Super Bowl. You'd certainly have to root for the Bears, I suppose, since they do have an Indiana kid at quarterback. Not many people know Jay Cutler's from Indiana.
Yes, I did. He is from Indiana. I grew up in southern Indiana down there and went to school at South Spencer, right? Where he went?
He went to Heritage Hills and then Vanderbilt University.
Heritage Hills. That's right. Heritage Hills. You're right. It's very good. See, I tell you, there's a reason that we call you Statman.
That's your neck of the woods, isn't it? Heritage Hills.
Yeah, down in Evansville. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's where I grew up. A little bit of trivia for our listeners there, that I grew up in Evansville. And did you grow up in Indianapolis here, Josh?
No, I grew up in Clinton County in Frankfort.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Okay. Well, guys, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call here on the show. And also, be ready to call us on Super Bowl Sunday. We want to talk about the Super Bowl with you. Give us a call. Josh, what's the number they can call us at and talk some Steelers-Jets, some Bears-Packers, and we've just got a little bit of time left in which to do that.
917-889-8516. We'd love to hear from you. This being championship week, and there is a NCAA football game today. If you have nothing better to do, turn on NFL Network at 4 o'clock. It's the East-West Shrine Game. West Wade Phillips will coach the West. I forget who's coaching the East. These are the kids who aren't going to go in the first, second, or third round of the NFL draft. These are the kids who are hoping to be a sixth or seventh round pick, an undrafted gem, like Dominic Rhodes of the Indianapolis Colts. They're hoping to be a sixth round quarterback, kind of like Tom Brady. I'm sure they would love to be the next Tom Brady. This is my favorite bowl game of the year. I don't know if you've ever watched the East-West Shrine Game, Tom, but it's a fantastic game with 100 kids on each side who simply want a chance to be invited to training camp. Anything more than that would be a dream come true for any one of these kids.
Oh, okay. Well, and I haven't seen that game in the years past. And it was always a very good matchup. I'm sorry, Josh. I was trying to load a soundbite here that I've got for us, and I haven't had a chance to review it, but I will get it loaded here in just a minute. It really is the best of commercials, Super Bowl commercials, which we've totally left that out of the scenario. No matter who plays in the Super Bowl, the commercials are going to be the best. And that's one of the things that we want to make sure that on the balance, the following Saturday after the Super Bowl, that we talk about the Super Bowl commercials. So go ahead, and Josh, let's real quickly, before we go into this soundbite here, let's talk about the ideal Super Bowl, and that would be the Steelers and the Bears in the Super Bowl. Tell us a little bit about what you think that kind of a breakdown will be for the Super Bowl this year.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to have to root for the Chicago Bears just because of Jay Cutler. I'll never root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Growing up, I was taught rooting for the Steelers is bad, and I've never done so in my entire life, nor will I ever do so. But I think that'd be a hard-fought defensive game. You'd see very little passing. You'd see the teams hand the ball off and run the football. I think it'd be kind of a boring game, unless you like defensive football. I think that'd be a 14-10 Super Bowl. The half of that Super Bowl, the best part of that game, and maybe any Super Bowl matchup, is going to be the Black Eyed Peas performing at halftime. I know that's Tom's absolute favorite band in the world, and I can't wait to watch them at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Josh. Continue. I'm multitasking here, buddy. I'm putting you in charge for a minute here. Go right ahead.
I think no matter what two teams end up in the Super Bowl, whether it be Jets-Bears, Jets-Packers, Steelers-Bears, Steelers-Packers, the NFL couldn't ask for a better four teams to be in the Final Four. These teams all have long traditions of history and success. Maybe not so much the Jets having success. The only time they won the Super Bowl is when Jameis Joe Namath ripped the hearts out of the Baltimore Colts, guaranteed the Super Bowl victory. kind of like Rex Ryan, and he delivered. That's why I'm hoping today Rex Ryan will guarantee the Jets win. See, it's when the Jets guarantee that they'll win a playoff game, they win it. You guarantee they'd win the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl. Rex Ryan guaranteed they beat the Colts, they beat the Colts. You guarantee they beat the Patriots, they beat the Patriots. So, Rex, if you're listening, come on. I say it already. You guarantee you'll beat the Steelers. But I think any matchup in the Super Bowl is going to be a great game. It's a great opportunity. It should be a national holiday. We can get into that maybe next Saturday or on the Super Bowl pregame show. I don't know if you agree with me, Tom. If not Super Bowl Sunday, then the day after should be a national holiday. I imagine more people call off work the day after the Super Bowl than go into work the day after the Super Bowl, so why not just make it a federal holiday? But the Super Bowl is the greatest one-day sporting event in the United States other than the Indianapolis 500, and nothing tops the Indianapolis 500. But I'm fine with whatever matchup we get in the Super Bowl, although it's going to be Jets-Packers, and it's time America comes to embrace it.
Well, I agree. I think that if it's not already a national holiday, which most people, I think, would agree that it is, it should be become one. And obviously, we want to hear about your Super Bowl parties. The Balance will be having a private Super Bowl party. I'd like to invite everybody over to the Balance Studios for a Super Bowl party, but I think with the wives and the children that are going to be here and the exclusive clientele of the Balance Super Bowl party, we can't open it up to everybody, but we're going to have us a good time right here. I know I'm making some wings, some chili. Of course, we're going to be broadcasting live throughout the day on an extended version of the Balance. So, and then we're going to watch the game right here at the Balance Studio and have a great time. So we want to hear about your Super Bowl parties, what you're talking about. Give us some good Super Bowl dishes, party dishes. Josh, I know that your mom makes a mean dip. Are you going to have her make some of that up for our party, our Balance party?
Absolutely. By the way, do you think there's any chance our new, without letting too much out of the bag, that our new boss will be at our party?
Our new boss? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, buddy. Oh, my. Josh, what am I going to do with you? All right, guys, Super Bowl Sunday, championship weekend. So glad that you could join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. We do this every single week. This is The Balance, the flagship station of The Balance, the flagship show of The Balance. The Balance, of course, we do the wrap-up every single day, and we talk NCAA. We talk everything to do with sports, and as the seasons move along, we're going to be getting into some racing. We're going to be talking some Daytona 500. One of the good, exciting things that we've got coming up here on The Balance is we've got some of the best people in the racing industry that are going to be a part of our show on a regular basis, and we're going to have reports from the track and from different things that we're going to be running once we get into racing season. We've got some exciting things coming up for baseball season as well. All right, guys, I got that soundbite loaded now, and I'm going to hear it for the first time with you guys. But what this is a collage of the best Super Bowl commercials in 2010.
Here we go.
Baby!
What are you doing?
I'm gonna work this party!
Mike, come on!
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
When you're older than most of the fans and coaches and owners, it's tough taking orders from people.
When I first started, I was like, casual Fridays, awesome. Morning. I kind of changed my position a little.
Taken care of, wolf style.
Oh, oh, oh.
Heidi, we got to get out of here before.
hot is too hot. I can show you exactly how hot. It's too hot for TV.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
Well, he's just saying that because I'm here.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
I got the
bar.
We're gonna make
some party, right?
Make
some
party, right?
You might have your hands
full
once I pick up the controller.
Put it back. Keep your hands on my mama. Keep your hands on my Doritos.
So I'm on a red eye back from a bachelor party with my buddy Mike, who is a terrible, terrible dancer. He's actually right by... What up, Mike?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, this is how he dances.
Should probably retire after this. I don't know.
Good times. I love book club. I'd like to hear you read some words.
All right, boys and girls. Yes, that was some of the best Super Bowl commercials around. And get ready for your Super Bowl party, boys and girls. Joshua, what are some of the things that you like to see at a Super Bowl party?
I love the GoDaddy.com commercials, as pretty much every guy in America does. But the best Super Bowl commercial of all time is still Mean Joe Green.
Go ahead.
I also like to see lots of food over at the Balance Studio at a Super Bowl party.
I tell you what, I love this song. Real quick, man, I'm going to play a little bite of this song. I wish I could have Miley Cyrus here for our halftime show. I love that song. You know, my wife Carrie and I were watching the American Idol, which is the best part of American Idol is the very beginning of it, and to watch these people just really think they can sing. But they had this Asian guy on there that was singing this song, and it just cracked me up, so I had to get it on the show. Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Woo, doesn't get any better than that, right, Josh?
No, it does not. That's another one of my favorite shows. I was watching that on Wednesday and Thursday night as well.
All right. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just going to say we need to transition over to MLB for a little bit if we have time. There are some big signings yesterday. Yesterday, the Tampa Bay Rays signed Johnny Damon and Manny Ramirez, two former Red Sox players, and they are in the process of signing Alan Embry, Mike Kimlin, and Keith Foulke, who all used to be in the Red Sox bullpen. I don't know what's going on in Tampa Bay. Are they that mad that we signed Carl Crawford that they're trying to steal all the players that we no longer want? It's kind of surprising to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on why they would sign five people that all used to play for the Red Sox.
I don't. I hadn't heard that. I've been so engulfed in getting ready for a championship weekend here, Josh, that I totally missed it. What I want you to do real quick, Josh, is if you can, just kind of break down, since we do cover all the sports and we don't want to leave anybody out, if you can real quickly here just kind of break down what's going on in the headlines of the other sports that you know of. Go ahead, Josh. You've got the mic, brother.
Manny Ramirez and Johnny Damon are both signed with the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday. It appears more and more likely, according to multiple sources on ESPN, USA Today, and a couple out of St. Louis, that the Cardinals are prepared to let Albert Pujols reach free agency at the end of the season. Prince Fielder will also be a free agent at the end of the next baseball season, so later on this year. Carmelo Anthony appears to be headed to the New York Knicks. New Jersey Nets are no longer interested in acquiring the service of Carmelo Anthony. They said it's too expensive, and they're tired of getting raked across the coals, to quote their owner. Dane Wonstadt is the new linebacker coach for the Buffalo Bills. Dick Durant is the new defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. Dana Bybels, the new offensive coordinator for Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. It appears likely that the Carolina Panthers will draft Nick Farley, defensive tackle out of the University of Auburn. Rich Rodriguez, it appears like he may be close to becoming an assistant coach. That has not yet been reported at what school. It's just been reported that he is in talks to become an assistant coach at the collegiate level. And then they tell Pittsburgh Penguins continue to miss the services of Virginie Malkin and Sidney Crosby. Hurry up, guys, get better while we're still in the playoff picture. We're falling farther and farther out down the playoff ranking without those two. And NASCAR, Sam Hornish Jr. is only going to run 10 races in the Nationwide Series. He would like to run the Indy 500 if he can find a ride. Penske has no cars, but he has to find a ride. The Penske approves. Ganassi might be an option, although I cannot see him approving him driving in the 500 for Ganassi. Look for Sam Hornish. If he drives in the 500, either drive for Penske or Andretti Autosport. Tony Kanaan has a new ride. I saw him at the airport the other day. He's extremely happy about driving for Jill DeFerrin. Danica Patrick is getting ready to go into year two in NASCAR. And starting February 12th is pole day at Daytona International Speedway for the upcoming Daytona 500. And the balance will be at IMS in the month of May for the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. The first one was held in 1911, and this is 2011, so we will have all month-long coverage of the 100th anniversary of the first Indy 500. Now back to Tom.
All right, thanks, Josh. And, yes, we will most definitely be doing a lot of coverage and down at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway right here in our backyard, just a few miles away from the Balance Studio, and we'll have some very, very good coverage of the Indianapolis 500 of all different types of angles. And like I said, one of the good things is we'll be out there and about with the new and improved Balance, and we will have the opportunity to bring you some really, really cool stuff down there in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Really excited about some of the new things that are happening here at the Balance. We've grown so much in Leap and Bounds, and we're so glad that you're a part of the show. And $2 Bill Josh is right here along with us. You can find us on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. $2 Bill Josh's $2 Bill Thoughts are there, as well as up-to-date sporting scores and tweets and all of the stuff that you could possibly want to totally absorb yourself in sports is right there on our website. And plus, we want to hear your comments on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com. Just search The Balance. If you're not on Facebook, why the heck not? You get with the cool people. Get on Facebook, guys. I mean, it's like cool. It's a cool thing to be at. We do want to hear your thoughts on Championship Weekend, 917-889-8516. I am expecting a call from one of our regular callers, my son, Zach, who's in the Marines down in North Carolina. He'll be calling in here in the next very short minutes here, and we'll get him on the air, and we'll talk a little bit of Championship Weekend with him as well. And guys, we want to hear any and all comments that you have about Championship Weekend, 917-889-8516. We do have an open line. Would love to hear from you. Now, Joshua, real quickly, what I want to do, and we keep talking about this kind of every week, and just kind of want to touch into that a little bit, and that's the new overtime rule. And I would assume that most people know what the new overtime rule is. What I'm going to do is play a soundbite. We've played it here on The Balance before. I'm going to play a little bit about the new NFL overtime rule that can very much, wow, can you imagine the new overtime rule, Josh, determining on who goes to the Super Bowl? You talk about something that's just going to really be at the forefront of the minds if that actually happens. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little soundbite that explains the new overtime rule. When we come out of that, Josh kind of explain what could happen in this championship weekend with this new rule and how that could actually keep somebody from going to the Super Bowl on the other side of the soundbite.
There's a new rule that coaches and the players have to deal with. At the beginning of overtime, if you win the coin toss and then receive and then kick a field goal, well, guess what? The other team's going to get a chance to either kick a field goal or score a touchdown and win the game. No longer is the first drive ending in a field goal going to end the overtime. That's what happened in the NFC Championship game last year, and it prompted this change. If the change works, I think we might see it in the regular season down the line. Most of the coaches are trying to figure out, does it pay to even go for a field goal on that first drive when a touchdown will win the game and end it right there? So it'll be a new dynamic to look at if we ever get into overtime in these playoffs.
All right, thank you to our friends. I forget what station Tom said that was from.
There's a new...
Sorry about that, Josh. Go ahead. And real quickly, Josh, we want to acknowledge the fact that we have on the line with us my son, Zach, from North Carolina. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys? I haven't talked to you all for a few weeks.
Yeah, where you been hiding at?
It's that behind the honey-do list. That's what it is.
That's right. What we're talking about, Zach, is we're talking about the new NFL overtime rule. Josh, go ahead and break that down. We're in championship weekend. We're talking about the Jets and the Steelers, the Bears and the Packers. Who's going to go to the Super Bowl and what kind of a Super Bowl we're going to have out there in Dallas. Josh, go ahead. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL overtime rule.
Well, I'll take you back a year ago to the NFC Championship game where the New Orleans Saints won the coin toss and kicked the field goal to send Brett Favre home. That cannot happen this year. The key word to remember this weekend is opportunity to possess. Say the New York Jets win the coin toss, say onside kick it, recover the football and kick a field goal. In that case, the game will be over. But if they kick it to the Steelers and the Steelers kick a field goal, the Jets get a chance to kick a field goal and tie or score a touchdown and win. It basically comes down to both teams have to have the opportunity to possess the football, unless the first team scores a touchdown.
Well, I think y'all's theories are correct here, but you got to remember, this is a championship weekend. I really don't see it going into overtime, mainly simply because somebody's determined to shut this game out real fast in a hurry. So, I think by the second half of both of these games, we'll pretty much know who's going to the Super Bowl.
And I agree with you, Zach. I think that I don't know that. Of course, both teams. I think if we see it anywhere at all, it's going to be in the Bears-Packers game, Josh. I think that's where we'll see this new overtime rule come into effect. And really excited about the overtime. I'm not excited about that rule, but I'm really excited about who's going to go into the Super Bowl. Zach, I know you haven't been with us the whole show. We've been talking about the Bears, the Packers, the Steelers, and the Jets. Real quickly, what I want to hear from you is what are your thoughts on the Jets-Steelers game and who's gonna be the winner there and who's going to be the winner in the Bears and Packers?
Well, first of all, Bears and Packers, since they play first, I definitely have to go with the Bears here. I'm not a cheesehead fan, but I definitely would put my money on the Bears. They've come a long way this year. They've wanted it bad, and they've had a start of a rough season, and they pull through. Definitely, I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Bears are going to come out on top, and then I think the Jets are going to surprise us and pull off that game against Pitt. So I think it's going to come down to the big game being the Bears and the Jets.
So you think it's going to be the Bears and the Jets? Well, that's a scenario that we haven't ran, so see, we've got a third scenario there. I kind of think it's going to be the Steelers and the Bears, and Josh thinks it's going to be the Packers and the Jets. So it looks like that a lot of people think that the Jets will win this. Jason Hammer this morning obviously said also that he thought that the Jets would win. But here's what I got to say, guys, and I got to go back to this for those people that didn't hear it, and Zach didn't hear this. So my friends over in Pittsburgh there at 94.5 FM gave us this song. We're going to play it one more time just because, hey, I'm the guy at the controls.
Hey, fans, turn loose together. The spotlight's on the Steelers and they're going to change the weather. We're going to be the champs again this year, so stick around.
Throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. He's
there. You're going to hear the fans ignite. It's all in one sound.
He fires for the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. High floor.
Hey, number one, Tom, have you heard us yet? But we're so upside down.
You took a beating today.
You know what? Right now, I don't feel anything.
I don't want the charm and the physical. The team is gone.
part of Wizarding.
I'm just so proud of those guys.
Pick up and learn a loom. In fact, go through. You know the reading in a magazine.
Then with a big third and 20 from his 38.
Benny beat the Jets.
Steelers 5 for 12 on third down. Sidecar to his right. Ben has time. He lofts it long pass down the field, trying to get under it.
Antonio Brown had a step on the defender and pulled that perfectly thrown pass in. They made it 20 and got a whole bunch more.
Yeah, I told young fella, just take off. I'm going to throw it up there for you. First, I think he's going to look up for the ball, but he made a heck of a play.
All right, thanks to our friends over there at 94.5 FM, Oldies 94.5 FM in Pittsburgh for putting together that song for this show here. And they've been playing it on the air. They're out there in Pittsburgh. And I said, I told him, I sent him a message on Facebook. I said, I got to have this. And I'm so glad that they sent that over to us so that we could have it here for championship weekend. Zach, what do you think about that song?
It's funny that you play that song. I think that since they played that song, it's going to stay with my theory a little bit that the Steelers are going to lose. Probably comes before a fall here, and I think they should have spent all that time and money for a waste, to be honest with you. So I think that since they did that song, I think that the team that they're facing is going to be like, you know what, we're going to make sure that they waste their money on this one. So
I frankly don't
see that the Jets playing too fair and too nice with a slap in the face like that. So I know they've heard it. I know the Jets fans heard it, and so I'm sure that the Jets are going to be like, you know what, we're just going to shut them out real fast in a hurry here, and make them rethink for doing that next year.
So you don't think it's going to be a party in Pittsburgh, huh?
No, I think they're going to party, yeah, but I think it's going to be more of a party to celebrate the good season that they had and drink away the sorrows, in all honesty.
Well, Josh, what do you think about a party in Pittsburgh? There's at least going to be a party in the USA in the Super Bowl, and we're going to find out who it's going to be this weekend. Josh, what do you think about Zach's prediction, the Jets and the Bears in the Super Bowl?
As long as the Jets make it unhappy, but there's another reason why I'm picking the New York Jets. It's in the Bible that pride comes before a fall. So now the Steelers have to beat the Jets and the Bible.
Oh, my. So what you're saying is it's going to be a beating of biblical proportions, huh?
All the way around. I think that from the get-go, I think by second half, you'll see that Pitt fans start, you know, not watching this game because they don't want to see how it ends, in all honesty.
I think the Jets and the Steelers are going to stay right in it. And Zach, you missed my breakdown of why I think the Steelers will win this game. I just think that, one, they're at home. I think that's a big momentum factor, a big momentum swinger. I think that that being at home with the Steelers is a big momentum thing for them. And also, which is another reason why I think the Bears will win as well. Josh, you got any thoughts on what Zach has to say? You got any questions for Zach while we got him here on the line?
No, just I know who has all the football brains in the family.
Exactly. I think the wrong man coaching the show.
You notice that he did pick the Bears as well. So I think he's just playing that neutral field there. He's Switzerland on the balance.
I just think that what it all boils down to is who wants it more and whose heart's in it. And we all know for a fact that I think we all can agree on the fact that the Bears want it a lot more than Green Bay does. And I think that the Steelers, they're comfortable with the position that they've in. They're in this position season after season after season. So it's one of those things where I think the Jets are going to pretty much shut them out and let them kind of blast and, you know, a failure and set them back a few notches.
Right. Well, one thing's for sure, guys, that tomorrow the story will be wrote, and we'll know who's going to be in the Super Bowl tomorrow. So, Zach, we know that you're in the Marines in North Carolina, so you're not going to be able to make it to the Balance Super Bowl party. Are you having a party there? Are you staying close to home because you've got a youngin' on the way, which, by the way, is my granddaughter, and she's going to be a future Colt fan and a future Cardinal fan, and we'll break her in right.
Oh, definitely. I've got the diaper bag ready for the hospital. There's got a Colt onesie in there that she'll probably end up coming home in. So, but the party wise. Especially at the Bears, which they will. The Bears going to the Super Bowl. I've got a bunch of Bears fans down here, and I'll probably go and wear a Colts jersey just to be that guy. But I'll go watch it with them, and you know, help them celebrate the Bears.
Did you hear the bet earlier on the Balance?
I did not.
He did not hear. Go ahead, tell him the bet.
When the Jets win tomorrow, by biblical proportions, or even by field goal, your dad's going to get to go to the Super Bowl party that he's hosting in a Jets jersey and a Jets hat and be required to root for the Jets.
that is true. And when we run the on Super Bowl Sunday, which we hope that you can join us a little bit, Zach, we're going to be running it on Ustream. So if you're in front of a computer, you can certainly watch the show as well as listen to it online, but we'd like to have you on the air a little bit. On February 6th, we're going to be doing an extended, probably about a 3 or 4 hour show of the Balance, and we're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. So, yes, I will be wearing that jersey if that happens to play out, and I'll be wearing that jersey again as we watch the Colts. I mean, not the Colts. I wish the Colts. Watch the Super Bowl at Cowboys Stadium on February 6th. Now, real quickly Zach, I know that you have some aunts and uncles that are out there in Texas and not too far from about three hours or so from Dallas. Do any of them plan on going to the Super Bowl?
Actually, I think one of my aunts is going down there. Her boyfriend is a big football fan, and he buys tickets for everything. So I think she's going to be the only one going down there, you know, standing in there for the whole family, because the whole family wishes that we could all be down there watching this big game. And I don't think that all my other families, they're big Dallas people, and we all know that they're not playing in their own stadium for the Super Bowl. So I don't think they're going to go down there just for that reason.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it brings us to the two-minute warning. And Josh, take us through the two-minute warning. And obviously, we know the Black Eyed Peas will be performing at halftime. So, Josh, here's the Black Eyed Peas to your two-minute warning. The two-minute warning here on The Balance.
Tune in to ESPN today. There's plenty of college basketball going on. And I watched a great movie last night. If you haven't checked it out, we talked about Facebook earlier. You need to watch The Social Network.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was just saying you need to tune into ESPN today and watch some college basketball and watch The Social Network if you haven't seen it, and go Jets.
Yeah, let's go Bears, go Jets. Let's get this game on a roll.
Well, guys, it's going to be a fun weekend. If you're a football fan, it's going to be the Jets and the Steelers, the Bears and the Packers. Obviously, I think that the Super Bowl is going to consist of the Steelers and the Bears. Well, guys, my name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, has been $2 Bill Josh and my son Zach from North Carolina. Zach, we appreciate your service. Guys, the Black Eyed Peas is taking us out for today.
For you.
Yeah.
I say, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say, son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.